Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We've got another conversation with a wonderful youth worker, Kara Allison. Kara, I'm so thrilled that you're tackling this big question for us. But before we get into it today, why don't you fill everybody in? Who are you? Where are you from? Where are you at? And tell us about your youth ministry.
Totally. Well, yeah, my name is Kara. Thanks for having me on the podcast today. My title is Youth Associate. I lead a youth group, run a youth group, lead a youth ministry.
It's like a youth pastor role, right?
Essentially, yep.
Different titles, different places. Yeah,
that's fine. So many different titles out there. Yeah. So I work with students in grade 6 to 12 at Village Church in Langley, British Columbia. I've been here, I just hit 3 years, which is kind of crazy, at this church. And before that, I was at a church in Winnipeg, my homeland. So been just
Winnipeg
working with
is your homeland.
For a while.
And of all the people I know from Manitoba, I would say you, and then I also know your sister who's in ministry, care so deeply and are champions for the Winnipeg world.
Absolutely. We're passionate about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I appreciate because I feel like sometimes people give Winnipeg a bad rap.
Yeah. You know. But we love it. It's a good place.
It's a wonderful place.
Okay. Yeah. Jeremy, I have a question for you before we get started. I've been asking my volunteers this week.
I don't know if you're allowed to ask me the questions. But you go ahead. Okay. I'm going to try this.
Okay.
Okay.
If you, as an adult, could put yourself in an activity that children do, but you're doing it as an adult. So I think like swimming lessons or like figure skating class or like pottery. What would you, as an adult, for you, sign up for?
This is a wonderful icebreaker question. I'm wondering, is there a teaching moment behind this? Because you're going to reveal something. I would say skating lessons.
Moment.
No, because this is my like from my upbringing, it's seared in my mind this moment. My mom put me in skating lessons for the first time, but put me in older ones. And so I was like so slow. It was really embarrassing. I got so much shame from it as a 6-year-old. And I went home crying after the second lesson and I've never learned how to skate.
No.
And you revealed all of that in the first moments of this podcast with that question.
This was supposed to be lighthearted. Okay, we'll carry on.
But that's what I would think of. I don't know. That's a great question, though. What do people normally say?
All kinds of things. Yeah, someone said like breakdancing. I've had like
interesting.
Some diving. Reveals
like, oh, where do you want to be? You know, what do you want to learn if you got a chance to learn? Yeah.
And we put like kids do all these things. I'm like, why can't adults, you know? We can.
So it makes me think. So my daughter is 4 and she's in dance class, and the dance studio also has an adult hip hop class that my wife goes to.
I love it.
And it is full of middle-aged, late 30-year-old moms looking to get out and just dance their hearts out. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's hilarious. And they go to the dance recital too, and they do the number on the stage.
I love it.
I think it's possible is the bottom line. What sparked that as a question? This is very far off our topic.
I was really curious. Yeah. And it's so interesting. It shows what people care about or want to care about. It's just random.
It is. That is a very random one. And maybe a change to our podcast rhythms where we're going to be more personal instead of just going to the business of the work of ministry. But that's all that I know. So, Kara, I'm going to shift us over to talking about how do you get more people to care about teenagers. I think this is now me reading into the situation. The fact that you are intriguing enough about those kinds of things makes me interested. I'm like, oh, I all of a sudden care more about even what you're caring about because of the way that you asked that question. So you're obviously good at this. Why don't you fill people in about your context? Because when you started, although you have an established church that you're part of, you've seen a lot of change over the last 3 years in helping more people care about ministry to the next generation. Can you just kind of describe that for people so they understand the changes you've seen over your ministry career in the last 3 years?
Oh, totally. Well, when I came to this church that I'm at right now, like we were still at the end of this COVID season, so church wasn't happening again, and came in, a lot of the youth workers were just so burnt out. And I totally get it. That was an exhausting season. And so basically, as soon as I showed up, a whole bunch of them were like, this has been great. Bye. It's so nice to meet you. I'll never see you again. Like, have a great time. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what do we do now? Right? Because now you're supposed to lead this youth group, and yet you have hardly any volunteers. I think we maybe had around 8, and just going, okay, we want to reach students, but the way we reach students is, you know, I can only connect with, say, 10 students at a deep level. And so I'm capped out pretty quickly. Like, I can't have a youth group that has hundreds of kids. We don't have hundreds of kids, but like, it's just not possible with one person. So you need then more volunteers. And so it was going, okay, who can I get to like come and help me with this? Who's a high quality person who then can speak truth into the life of a teenage kid and journey with them in ways that I can't? And even like, what gifts do they have that I don't have? Like, we have so many different skill sets on our team now, and I'm so grateful for it, because I am not the hype person at all times of the day. And I am not the person who's an engineer and loves to talk about science and like all these different things. So we need team. And so I came in, didn't know a lot of people. And actually, the funny thing is, Jeremy, so I'm getting married in the fall, and people always say, like, how did you meet your fiance? And I, you know, the short answer is, oh, it was a young adults event. Well, the long answer is I had come here and I was trying to find volunteers. And so I said, where do all the young adults hang out? And because church still wasn't happening with COVID. And they said, well, young adults, they all get together and play beach volleyball on Wednesday nights. So I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to show up and I'm going to start working hard at recruiting. Like, everyone I can talk to, I'm going to mention youth. I'm going to talk about how they should join us. And like, that's going to be who I am. I'm like, I'm just going to own it. It'll be fine. And so showed up and started, I was like, I'm going to go every week all summer, and started just working the crowd of like, hey, I'm Kara. I do youth. We'd love for you to join us. Hey, I'm Kara. I do youth. Love for you to join us. And that was my, like, I was on tunnel vision. And then sure enough, my fiance was there, and I tried to recruit him. That didn't work. And then he had other ideas and started dating for a while after that. But I did
That's recruit awesome.
Some fantastic youth leaders that summer, and they're still part of our ministry now. So it's a lot of fun.
So there's so many benefits. That was so wonderful. Okay, so what I love about even just that, the way that you said all of those things, because you said so much and it's so insightful, the fact that you are vocationally, like, this is your job, so you're full-time working in the church. You've got a team when you start of 8 people. Some people would hear that number, and certainly, obviously, like, in the context of our like, you know, country of Canada, there's like 8 is a pretty good number of volunteers in a ministry. But for your ministry to have you as a paid staff, you would say, hey, in light of the fact that there's 8, I think our capacity is that much higher because I'm a full-time person. I think for a lot of people, they would have just said, oh, 8 seems like a reasonable number. Let's kind of see what happens here. What sparked the dream or the vision for something that impacted more teenagers or impacted them deeper?
Yeah, I think I just started going, like, I want as many people as possible to be part of this, because who knows, like, how God can use different people. And I think in my head, I was like, if we could get to the point where there's, you know, at least one, if not 2 leaders assigned per gender and per grade, like, that would be my ideal. Like, so that there's at each grade, there is someone who is specifically assigned to them, who's going to be looking out for them, who wants a relationship with them. And so that was the dream. We're still not totally there. I'm still recruiting more, but like, that was like, if that's the goal, we got to start getting a few more here to get up to that number.
Okay. So yeah, tell us what has happened. So you started off with 8 volunteers, lots of people had left. And so what does the team look like 3 years down the line?
Yeah. Now we have about 30 volunteers, 20 who serve with us midweek, and then about 10 who serve with us on Sunday mornings. And we have another paid staff member now who joins me. And so it's been so cool to see like how many people have gotten excited and gotten behind this vision that we have for it. And then to see the students who come, see the leaders whose lives are also being changed by having to speak the gospel into the lives of students each week. Like, it's been such an honor and a privilege.
Yeah. And although this isn't, we're going to spend a ton of our time, we're going to get to the how do you get more people to care about teenagers? Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, grow the kind of impact? But I guess maybe just, cause you said it briefly there, but maybe just give a vision for some leaders. Cause again, we got volunteers that are listening. We got people that feel like, oh, that's a lot of work to try to like add more people to the team. And like, this sounds like you had to go every week to go, you know, I'm already married, so I'm not looking for a spouse. So there's no other bet. Like, if I go to play volleyball every week just to recruit a few volunteers, do you know what I mean? Like, why is it important, do you think, for more people to care about teenagers and their faith in particular?
Totally. I just think that the future of our church is in these kids. And we say our motto at youth is to see people. And we talk about that often with our volunteers of like, to see, it's longer than that. Like, we want to see people transformed into fully devoted followers. But if we just think about that first part, to see people, like, I go, each of these kids has a name and a story. And even if they've grown up in the church, like a lot of them are still wrestling with huge things. They've walked through different things. They're carrying different things. Like for me, it's about the one. I don't know. And so it's just like each of these kids needs to know the gospel, and they need someone in their life who's in their corner and rooting for them and going like, I so believe in you and believe that God's put gifts in you and talents in you. And so it's about having eyes then for the individual that's right before us. And that can be when it's a child, that can be when that is a youth. And I just think those, it's so important. It's a ministry focus, right? And a way of viewing life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And to be honest, as you think about that, you know, so often at our events, when we host these conferences and people talk about, you know, their ministry, you know, that heart for the one, you know, is in most of us. I mean, the fact that, you know, people are listening right now to a podcast about youth ministry and volunteering in youth ministry, it likely means a lot to you. But the stumbling block for so many of us is that when we look up, we don't just see one, we see a sea of like 18 or 20 kids that we're responsible for, and it's just us. And so we realize, oh, this is beyond our capacity to actually do good, deep work ministry. And so in light of that, what would it mean for us to have more people? And that's the practical nature of these kinds of things. It's like, yeah, absolutely, we care about the one, but that because of that, it's important for us to broaden our team. So how did you, or what are some ideas that you have, maybe you can suggest to, again, ministries that are large, people, ministries that are smaller, how did you guys see more people, you know, join the team, more people care about teenagers in your organization? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think the benefit sometimes of coming in new to a space is that you can kind of have no shame in asking everyone and anyone to just like come in and join you because you don't know the history or the context maybe. So that was step one for me. But then I found a point after probably about a year in it, like I had asked everyone I had met. I had gotten a lot of no's. I'd gotten some yeses, you know, but then it was like, okay, I need to think beyond just now who I know. I got to go a little bit bigger. And so then the thing was, how do I get to that like next layer of finding the people to invite into what God's doing? And so I literally just said to my volunteers, I said, like, if I could clone you and have two of you, that would be my dream. Like, if we can just have two of you, perfect. And so we can't do that. But I did say, like, who do you know who's like you? Like, I want to know who they are. I want to meet them. I want to get connected with them. Like, I want their name, phone number, information, all of it. And so they started sending me different names and information about people. And then I would take it, you know, the next step to contact them, reach out, set up a meeting with them, all these different things. So that was one of them. And then with that, we did a plus one night for our students where they're all invited to, you know, bring a friend and someone maybe who knows Jesus, maybe someone who doesn't. And so I did the same with our volunteers. I said, okay, at plus one night, I want you to bring someone. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend. Like, I think the one rule I said was they need to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And we had them, you know, with, of course, you want to be mindful of plan to protect. And we had different ways of putting them in spaces. So they were never in a position of trust with students. But it was just all these leaders then who brought in people who maybe were interested and did like a trial night of being a youth leader. And so we got several leaders from that who were like, yeah, okay, this is awesome. Like, I love what you are doing and I want to get behind it and get involved. So that was another really practical one. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, what I like about that is it's still relational. It's just tapping into the relational networks of other people. So, you know, for any of us, you know, as a youth worker, you think, oh, like we usually ask the same people over and over again to do volunteering in our organizations. And so to try to ask the one step further, hey, who else do you know? Are there anybody else? Just that broadening, I think is so smart. How did you make sure that it was, well, I guess you kind of asked like in terms of that you're getting the right kinds of people. Do you know anybody that's like you. But how else do you make sure that you get the right kinds of people? Because you're not just asking for warm bodies. Like, hey, we actually need people with a particular set of skills or willingness to learn. And obviously they have to have faith of some kind. They need to be safe people. So how do you kind of guard for that culture as your team expands?
Totally. I think the best people you can recruit often are your like grade 12 students who are going into university. Because they're the ones who have lived and breathed your culture for a little bit, right? For however long they've been a student. So if you can then too, like, yeah, I like looking out, but also like you're creating a culture within your youth group and then that culture is growing up with these students. So if they can then get to a point where they have the time or the capacity or the energy to then give back to the next group of, you know, the younger kids coming up, that's a huge way to just be intentional about your culture and make sure that it's in a place where you want it to be.
I like that. I'm also super nervous by that. I get nervous as I get older because I'm like, grade 12, you know, 18, 19 year olds, they're wonderful, but we also want to have some older people that, you know, bring some expertise. And so have you ever experienced it where you bring on like a parent or, you know, somebody that's in their, you know, maybe later 30s or 40s, and then you realize, oh, they've got a mindset about ministry that maybe is different than ours. Like, how do you make sure that when they care about teenagers, they also care about the ministry ideas that you guys have been thinking about, that culture?
Totally. Yeah. I think I learned it from you, Jeremy, of the like recruiting, say, a middle school parent and going, hey, like your kid is in middle school, come volunteer in our high school. So you learn about the things that they're about to walk through. And then the vice versa of recruiting a high school parent and going, hey, you've just walked your kid through middle school, come help us in middle school because you've got a lot of wisdom. And so I think that's a really beautiful relationship of people to think about too. Beyond that, like we have a couple.
Does that actually work? Because I mean, it's kind of you to say that. I've said that before, but did it actually work? Do you have any parents?
I don't have a ton. I have even more though of the empty nesters. I have these two guys who are in their 60s right now, and they are fantastic. They don't put up with any of the nonsense that some of these middle school boys try and give them. And they're so in it for the right reasons. They're like, these kids need to know the Bible. They need to know Jesus. Like, these games are great, but like, they just want to like get to it. And so we've had a lot of fun. Their names are Chuck and Dave. And Chuck and Dave are, they're all stars. I'm so grateful for them. So
that's fun. Okay. So that's a one way on culture. Anything else that you'd say around, you know, culture ideas in terms of, as you're growing the team? Cause I think for some of us, you know, as volunteers, part of it is that, well, we kind of like our small little family here, right? Like, hey, if this ministry grows, it's going to change it. And, you know, if we add somebody else to the mix and like, if we got too many students, like, isn't that going to be dangerous? And so how do you compensate for that, or how do you deal with that going from 8 to 30 people?
Yeah, I just go, it's so worth it though. Like, yeah, it does change it. And it's sometimes the dynamics, like the social dynamics can change, but I just go like, if we can reach more students, like it's worth it. It's worth having new people we have to incorporate and maybe a little bit awkward and definitely more work for the youth pastor to get them up to speed. But if they're able to connect even with one kid, like to me, that is totally worth it. And ideally even more, right, by the influence they can have in the lives of students.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, now thinking to, again, lots of people that are listening, most of them are volunteers. So let's do two different categories. There's volunteers with like a staff youth pastor kind of position, so somebody like yourself. And so that's a category. And then a second category is maybe a group of volunteers, and it is a smaller team. It's a smaller church, smaller setting. Maybe it is a volunteer kind of point leader. And so we'll go to both of those scenarios and how these things might apply. So let's start with thinking about your own team of volunteers. If they were to hear this, what would you hope that they would do to help get more people to care about teenagers?
I think I would hope that they would think bigger.
Because they're going to think, oh, but Kara's doing all the recruiting. We don't have to worry about it. She'll just tell us. We'll hand her a name or something like that. She's got it. That's why we hired her.
I'd go, I need people. I need your help, please. Because like I said, like I've tapped out on my circles. And so it's like, who else do you know? Who can, like, can you help me think more creatively? Can you help us think bigger of who this could be? So I'd be inviting them into that. That would be a big one.
Oh, that's interesting. So I wonder even if you would say, if you're a volunteer, so if your point leader is kind of connected with you, with your friends, but maybe now you're actually going to your friends and finding their friends. You know what I mean? Totally. So like, I think about like, oh, I've got a small group of guys. And so, you know, I could connect with them and invite them to come and serve somewhere. But it's a whole nother thing if I'm volunteering somewhere to say to, you know, Gabe in my small group, hey, Gabe, who else do you know? Because he's connected in ministries and doing different things. He's a Christian.
Yeah.
Who else do you know that could join our mission in this? And so just continuing to find ways to kind of get more of those names in terms of inviting people into these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Okay, that's cool. Okay, so that's what you'd want your volunteers to hear. Now, think back to another setting that maybe doesn't have a great system. They don't have a youth pastor. They don't have a point leader. There's a lot of, again, small ministries. Maybe it's like two or three. They're like, yeah, it would be amazing to have another volunteer. What would you say to somebody that this isn't their full-time job and they're trying to sort this out? What could they take away from this kind of conversation and your ideas?
I would first just say thanks for the work that you're doing, because that is hard to balance like life. And then you do this as a volunteer. Like, I just honor you, and I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing in your context. So thank you. And then I guess I don't know that I have a lot of wisdom, but I do go like, I've seen God be so faithful in my life with like asking specifically for like taking the specific needs I have and going, God, would you bring someone? Would you show me how to disciple this kid? Would you show me what we do with this? And it's not always immediate, but I have seen him be so kind in it, of giving me the things that I need. And it's not always in the ways that I expect it. So I guess, I mean, I can't say that I should go to God, yes, for the volunteer youth worker. Also, to my volunteers, please go to God too, and he'll meet you in your needs as well. I don't know. What would you add, Jeremy?
Well, I think that's wise. I think it's actually really critical when we pray about something. So if you're saying to a volunteer, hey, you should pray about the discipleship of the kids that are in front of you. You should pray about the ministry and what God has invited you into. And part of that obviously is inviting the Spirit to do the Spirit's work in our midst. But sometimes that's changing our mindset and our eyesight even. And so I think for us as people, this is maybe a bit overstated, but like the vision and the hope that God has for the people in your ministry, for you, for the teenagers in your community, it's massive. It's huge. It's way beyond the scope of anything we could possibly imagine, because he's willing to die for every single one of those teenagers that go to the high school down the road. And so if it means that for us, we have to be thinking new or creatively about how to reach these kids, or how to do better discipleship, or how to spend time, maybe not discipling kids, but just intentionally for a season. This is sometimes what we would tell people is like, hey, as a volunteer, your biggest commitment to the faith of the next generation for the next 6 months might have nothing to do with an individual teenager. It might have everything to do with finding more adults to join in this mission. And that's going to be okay. And it could actually be worth canceling even youth group for a season, so that every ounce of your energy goes into, hey, we're going to build an army of people who care so much about the faith of the next generation. So that's just where, maybe that's it, but mm-hmm. maybe the Lord will reveal something different. The great thing is that the Spirit can actually lead and guide that work, and you don't have to just listen to two Yahoos on a podcast for the exact answer for what your situation is in Northern Manitoba or in Southern Ontario or wherever you're at. So
totally.
I don't know. Well, that sounds like a reasonable place to stop. So let's kind of wind things down here a little bit. Kara, any last minute ideas on this? And if not, why don't you give people as we go one more great icebreaker question that you're using these days that works?
I think the last thing I would add is just like, as you think of, as a volunteer, as you think of your youth group, like, and then the culture within it, like, nothing makes your youth pastor's heart like flutter a little bit more than like when you take time to connect with other youth leaders outside of youth. Like if you do that, like, hey, let's go for coffee, or like, hey, love to connect with you. Like that just makes youth pastors happy, because then we go, aw, they like each other. Or maybe you don't even like them, and that's okay. You pretend to like them. You care about them. So, and I think that just goes back into making it a really great place to be, and a place that people feel seen and loved and want to be part of, and draws people into community. So that's my last tidbit. Other icebreaker question, if you were, you as a person, were a sandwich, what sandwich would you be and why?
Do people even know types of sandwiches?
Yeah.
Do teenagers know types of sandwiches?
Tuna, turkey.
I feel like you had to grow up and have church events in the church basement with the old ladies creating sandwiches to know that there's even other options out there.
Well, you can get
the pink one.
Peanut butter and jam. Take your pick.
Tasty but deadly for other people. Yeah, it depends on your context. Okay. Well, that's a great way to end it. And hey, if you're listening and you've got ideas on how to help more people care about teenagers, or if you got good icebreaker questions, we'd love to hear from you. I always put my info in the show notes. And certainly if there's any other questions around ministry that we can answer, we would love to do that. Let us know. But otherwise, thanks for your time, Kara. And we'll see everybody listening around these parts for the next conversation on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.